Welcome to EAA Radio. I'm Wireless Mike.
I'm Paul Prydecker.
And today we are joined with Mark Hoot Gibson. He's from the Next Gen Institute, and you're here to talk about Equip 2020. What's so special that's happening in 2020?
Well, thanks, first of all, Michael and Paul, for inviting me to speak. It's an incredibly successful effort that we had got ongoing via the Institute. It began back in October with a kickoff by the deputy administrator. The concern, the focus is ADS-B equipage by the mandate in 2020. I had a couple meetings with him, and essentially the FAA, we were 5 years into the transition period, if you will, towards the mandate. They had completed a number of their efforts, the ground-based relay stations and the WASS satellites and a number of other efforts. But when they turned around and kind of checked on progress from the industry, specifically the aviation operators, there wasn't a sense that they were picking up the pace at all. So he had a call to action, which I thought was well focused. He spent all day there, and they had about 85 reps, plus or minus, from various parts of the aviation industry, the operators, the avionics folks, installation folks, and then key staff from the FAA. And out of that came 43 recommendations or hard points that folks needed to work. He then threw that over the transom to me and the Institute, and I drafted several folks that helped me. Jens Henning from Gamma is very knowledgeable on the topic. George Legler, who's an independent consultant but has done this work on this for over a decade, primarily with RTCA. And Bruce DeClean, who comes out of the FAA, and he's kind of my senior colleague on the AVS side. So those folks, along with myself, I've now affectionately named the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. But we have done very well towards slaying those topics, and I'd be happy to go through the history of it.
So the Next Gen Institute, then, you're a liaison then between the government and then the stakeholders and industry?
Yeah, ideally, we're a 501(c) that is funded by the FAA, but it's to give industry an opportunity to interact without OCI and themselves or conflict of interest. They can participate, and it takes away that direct contact with the FAA and the government. We serve as that intermediary. So if there's something that needs to be done, and often I get inputs from industry as well and try to bridge that between the two.
So as I walk through the exhibit halls, I see more and more attention paid towards ADS-B and its deployment and implementation. Two things, Mark, can you just give us a brief introduction to ADS-B, what it means to this audience, and what do you see as the challenges?
Well, I think it is the next revolution, if you will, or an expected evolution in our ability to navigate in the aviation community. It's gone from terrestrial, if you will, based systems, TAC and VORs, ILS, pick one, to a space-based GPS positioning source, and then transport those signals and location is then broadcast, if you will, out through a transponder, much like before, and received by ground stations and then integrated back through the surveillance system. So you have some aircraft air-to-air, but also air-to-ground, and then that gets fused back in with what currently is out there, radar. Great benefits, obviously. There's been an effort to talk about the cost of radars and moving to a new technology. The upkeep is significant. There'll be some retained, but this isn't just a U.S. effort that I've seen. This is a global movement. Australia, Singapore, many on the Asian side are leading. Certainly Europe is paying close attention to our efforts and timelines. It is much more accurate. It's updated every second versus 12 or so seconds with radar. And of course, you don't get the error rates as you move out from radars. You know you're getting
sure.
a larger area that you're sampling. So there'll be things that you can do with that accuracy that we can't currently do with our current systems.
So is this an aid to traffic flow at some airports? There are some other safety enhancements I can imagine.
Right. That's the hope, obviously, and that's mm-hmm. the plan long term. Mm-hmm. As you can imagine, right now, the big push is to get everyone equipped. It's one of those things that you're only strong as your weakest link. Everybody in that airspace and has to be essentially a homogeneous, reliable reporting. And once you accumulate that, but because of the accuracy and the timing, you can, in theory anyway, compress your spacing with some reliability that what you see is what you get. There's a number of efforts, transoceanic already. Are beginning to explore reduced separation using ADS-B products.
Who needs to be worried about making sure that they have their equipment up to date?
Well, essentially, I mean, I heard it again today, everybody that currently has a transponder and flies with a transponder needs it again. However, that said, I think we all need to be very clear. This is not an airworthiness air vehicle modification. This is airspace. So to fly in the airspace, you have to have the updated ADS-B equipment. But if you're flying outside that airspace, It's not required.
if it's, even though it may not be required, a user could still see benefit if the user elected to equip his aircraft.
Yeah, I think there's some. Some have even said as much as safety. If you were you're at lower altitudes, you'll be seeing much greater sampling of airspace across the country because of its low altitude capabilities. Some have said it might help rescue up in Alaska because the accuracy of which it will record where you last were sighted. There's other in products that would be available to you, such as the real-time weather reporting, NOTAM updates, and things like that that you'll be able to pull in. I tell folks it's like once you have a microwave, garage door opener, ice maker, you never want to go back. I think that's what we're finding with people. I know it's been expensive for the GA community, and we've been very successful in Quip 2020 dropping that price over 50%. And I think we're near rock bottom pricing on it. But what I think we'll find is more and more folks equip, and we find the benefits out there. You know, it's a little bit of keeping up with the Joneses, but also the incredible safety benefits that will be available to you.
So what kind of services does the pilot in the aircraft see with ADS-B?
Well, again, I haven't flown with it, so I don't want to speak out of turn, but it's my understanding, of course, besides reporting to surveillance systems and with those aircraft that are within, I think it's 15 miles and plus or minus 3,500 feet of your altitude, you can get reports of aircraft around you. So in a sense, in your world, it's an expanded TCAS. But I think the information, much of what they're finding right now is that general situational awareness of what's around you. Again, I think people, once they get that ability to see even in haze and the rest of it, to know where those conflicts might be, but also the updated information on weather and all that. We've all been there. The more real-time information you can get regarding that and how it's going to affect your flight, it's a safe issue.
In terms of just the technology, and I think about all the technology advances that we've just seen coming to EAA over the past, you know, 15 or 20 years, would you say that the movement to ADS-B is as significant a jump as we went from, say, from LORAN to GPS, or is it even greater?
Well, again, I'm old. I didn't live through all those. But I can tell you, you know, with my Air Force flying background, starting out, you know, rudimentary A-10 back in the day, and when I left, I was flying the higher block F-16s with all the link and capabilities that that brings to you, knowing where everybody's at and being able to communicate with data is a leap. Like I alluded to before, I think when people begin to fly with this, and, you know, I don't know if there's very many good simulator systems out there, but there's certainly some research that I think folks might have friends that fly this. They might be able to go out and catch a hop and introduce themselves to the benefits and see it real time. I think it'll sell. But again, I think it's part of a global effort. I don't know that, you know, I'm all about global leadership as well in this area. We've always been that way in aviation, and I'd hate to see us surrender. I think it's the right way to go.
So are there other examples of other countries moving to ADS-B prior to us?
Well, again, I don't have all the examples. I've heard Australia, for the most part, commercially now, you can't operate in airspace without it. I've heard Singapore is pretty much closed theirs as well. They're transitioning. Europe has been, they were going to be a little bit before us, now they're a little bit behind with CSAR, but I think everybody's watching us. In fact, in Equip 2020, I think those who have participated now see the commitment out of the FAA, and again, commitment just not just verbally, but they've invested a heck of a lot of money and capability. I don't see anything like that in their past that they've walked away from, shall we say. So now Europe and some of the carriers there are starting to want to participate in Equip 2020 and see what we're doing and where we're going. I think the fact that Deputy Administrator and Administrator have not moved from their point for the last however long, and we've walked through the investments that have been made, it's starting to get everybody to finally realize, you know, the time's coming, and we're at a tipping point where now the real concern is, are we going to have the capacity to get everybody done in time that will want it done?
We had an interview with a gentleman in a previous episode who, I think he worked it out to say, we're down to about 1,100 business days.
Was that Rick Perry?
It was.
Yeah. Well, we're on the same sheet. That's good. Rick's a member of the Equip 2020 and a vocal one. But yeah, it's a pretty high performance group. But yeah, about 1,000, I think, 1,000 work days. And I, you know, a lot of folks, I understand, you know, they'll say, well, the FAA had this, their microwave landing, and we all invested and then we walked away from it. I just don't see that happening. Those who think they might see further savings, I'm concerned that what they're really going to see is those costs for installation going up as supply and demand is going to create a crunch.
Yeah, because it's going to take a lot of time to install these in all these airplanes, and time's short.
Yeah, and we may see some minor growth in installation capability, but probably not in time.
Sure. I was at a meeting not too long ago where the deputy administrator reaffirmed the date, mm-hmm. and I had the feeling that they're quite firm on this date.
Mm-hmm. that was, I know, part of the early concern was, you know, there's a track record here and there's a lot of poker being played. And unfortunately, after I got into this, I realized it's kind of a carousel, you know. And so the avionics guys don't want to manufacture and have stuff sit on the bench, and the operators can't afford it until they need to afford it. And they want it to be able to then, in a short period of time, see the benefits of everyone having it. So the more they worried about moving that stake, the more the whole carousel and the whole economic strata of that continued to drift. So I think it's been beneficial to all. Yeah.
To me, the economics seem pretty clear. If you don't equip yourself, you don't get to fly as an airline operator.
Right, right, you know, yeah.
I mean, that's kind of hurts your bottom line if you can't operate.
Sure. You characterized yourself earlier as a liaison between government and industry. Part of that must be an education process.
So oh, absolutely.
What sort of outreach and education efforts do you sustain here?
I think today is one of those, obviously, examples. But in Equip 2020, for top three things, being an old retired general, there's, you know, I get things down to their most fundamental levels and try to work on those. And the first one was the carrier issue. When I say the carrier issue, it was really the GPS receivers that they were equipped with. A number of carriers have already equipped with first and second generation. They weren't fully compliant, less than 1% of the time, though. What we're really talking is about third and fourth. So there was a transition period that was requested. Second thing was AOPA, and if you will, the GA, the cost and affordability issue. And I think we just talked about that and what we were able to do. Last part, I just felt that we're falling way short on the education piece. The average John Q. public flying an airplane out there was getting his information from the guy pumping gas. There was a lot of myths and legends about the benefits and the cost. And so we've done an immense amount of effort. Scott Foos, who's here today, and others back through the FAA, new website, these kinds of focus efforts to communicate with folks. And in fact, that new website is at faa.gov/go/equipADSB. But those kind of things are very informative. If anything, I think that's been one of our successes in the last 4 months, is really driving that down to the grassroots level.
And unfortunately, we're running out of time for this interview, but if somebody was here on the field and they wanted to hear more information, where can they go to get more information about ADSB?
Well, here on the field, down at the FAA Safety Center, NextGen and ADSB Group are down there in the east side of that that building, and there's a lot of information to be had there. And then again, I just mentioned the website, obviously. And they can feel free to contact me back through the NextGen Institute or the Equip 2020 folks. Currently about 85 men and women membership in that group.
Mark, this has been very informative. Also, on top of all of this, I know you have a past background in the military. We want to thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but we want to thank Mark Hoot Gibson for joining us. You're listening to EAA Radio.